Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to awaken to the truth of your soul? Welcome to today's episode of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show with your host, Nadia Khalil.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to today's show. Today is Tuesday morning. It feels like Monday morning. Going on a short vacation tends to like throw you off, but wow, what a great few days. Sometimes you just need to go away and go home. And going to Chicago, going home, you see your family and your sisters and your friends, and everybody gets to just spend some time together and remember who we are and where we came from. And what a great segue to today's show. Like, how do you get to know you? And I kept thinking, there's so many things I don't say on the radio. For some reason, I like little things that happened with Christ when I first saw Christ, and how did he get me to first start peeking into who I am as a person? Because we're taught who we are is nothing, and what we do for others is everything, and there's no balance between who we are and what we do. So we just start becoming these people pleasers, and we want, you know, to make sure everybody's happy with us. And we never actually stop to ask the question, what does my life mean to me? And I remember when I did first see Christ, and I was at that point just discovering my own role in my own life, which was one of the questions he asked me. What is your own role in your own life? And I thought, well, I don't know exactly what does that mean. And I didn't know how to answer that question. My life that we're talking about. How well did I know myself? If I didn't like something or didn't want to do something, I never said anything to anybody. I just did it. And I figured, okay, I'll get it over with and then I can do what I want, because I didn't want to upset people. And we, in the beginning, you know, of seeing Christ, we were all still in that mode of just trying to do everything. And that's what we thought we're supposed to do. And if we could just do that, we were fine. And we'd look for a little bit of time here and there for to the wayside, and we didn't realize how much it affects us to not know ourselves. And the first thing Christ did was dig into me. He never said, what did anyone else do to you? What does anyone else want from you? He said, what do you want from you? I honestly didn't know, other than having my job, feeding my kids, paying my bills. I really didn't care about anything else. I never really got to anything else. So those questions started opening doors and making me think. And then I wanted more time to think, but I still had to go to work, and I'm on this treadmill, right? I can't really stop the treadmill. And so I've learned to carve out time to hear Christ, to write. So I started working like triple fast in the morning and trying to get a whole day's work done between 9 and 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And then I went and parked my car somewhere and sat in the car and pulled out a yellow pad and just started writing, letting Christ write through me so that I could hear and spend time that way, because I knew once I picked up my kids from school, it was homework and food and getting everybody wound down and everyone taking baths and the whole nine yards. How did I get to know me? How do we get to know ourselves? Because knowing ourselves truly should be the first thing that we're taught. Because imagine if you had conversations with your family as a young child, and instead of just people asking you what you want to be when you grow up, just to kind of take a gauge to see where they were going to go with you, they learned to develop the the part of us that's conscious of ourselves, that pays attention to our own behavior through self-accounting instead of, you better not do that or you're going to get in trouble. Because now they're creating rebellion in us. But if they teach us self-accounting, we don't have to necessarily go through the rib setup right now. Oh, your kid's 13. Yeah, mine's 13. Oh, they're starting to do this and they're starting to do that. And then people have these conversations. But that's a whole different reality than a reality we could have if we had a certain level of respect for the power of a human soul. Just for the power of a human soul. I love teaching kids so much because that's what looks like nothing every Sunday is a big thing. The questions we ask, the things that we want them to know that you just would never hear somewhere else, and they're the simplest, littlest things. Just about self-analysis, self-questioning, self-accounting. Attention to others, listen to others, do for others. All of that is great. However, we would tire sighted the equation, and that's why people are not balanced. Can't have 1,000 + 0 equal 1,000 with the zero there, because who's that zero? How do you balance? Let's say we had 500 plus 500, or we had 800 plus 300 even, at least 30% of the time you would think of yourself. That's not 800 plus 300, 800 plus 200. Where's my math? But at least 20 even percent of the time, maybe even 10% of the time. But we were kind of in many ways, cut that selfish, that's bad, we're conceited, we care about ourselves. But really what we were describing was ego, which is the extreme of self-accounting. Because you can't use your ego to self-account unless you want to be blind to what you do. The bigger question is, why are we taught to not know ourselves? And how did that and does that affect our lives when we don't know who we are? Some people say, well, yeah, I do know. I don't like this. Do you share that? Do you include that in your life, or do you just not like it? Stay away from it. How well do you think your kids know you? Or do they just know you as a parent? Because when you talk to your kids about your dreams and things you want to do and things you've done, things that were dreams when you were their age that you've actually achieved, and you tell them that, and they themselves know that they can live their dreams. But if nobody tells them or has the time to talk to them, we're too busy instructing them and driving them from one practice to another, they don't get to know. Sometimes we feel like our kids or ourselves, we're just going to figure it out one day. By the time we figure it out, we're older people. They say the most fruitful time any human being's life is between the ages of 40 and 60. And after 60, it's gravy. Because then we have such an understanding. But the truth is that understanding is available to us from the very beginning if we just had a new education, standing the human soul. So this morning, I just asked Christ. I just said something so simple like, how do we get to know ourselves? And the first thing he said was just within your thoughts to yourself, remind yourself that you can still learn and challenge yourself. That's it, that you can still learn and challenge yourself. And then he went on to say that as we grow, we do stop learning at some point. It's not that we stop learning, we're not changing, but the changes are like the natural changes that just happen. We're getting older, you know, we get a little busier, we might get a day off here and there, little change-ups like that. Just remind yourself you can still learn and challenge yourself. Put yourself in a position that you're uncomfortable enough to be challenged, to learn that you can still do stuff, that you can still do things. Get to know new people in addition to the people you know. Because everyone new you meet, what happens? You have to describe yourself. You hear yourself talk about yourself. Every time you meet somebody new, there's this amazement in yourself and in the other person. And you start to hear yourself and you're like, wow, I do that. Wow, I do love that. Oh man, I haven't thought like that in years. And you start like building this momentum in your mind. And then the person may say to you, and it doesn't have to be a romantic interest alone, it's a friend, it's you joining a club of like-minded people, maybe a book club, maybe, you know, some kind of, maybe even Pilates, maybe even yoga, whatever it is. Find a forum to meet people who do not know you. And go alone, because if you go with somebody, you're going to talk to that person only. You won't get to know anyone else. In fact, the blinders will go on and you won't even pay attention to anyone else. But the other thing he said was volunteer your services. Give some time to helping other people. Because the most amazing thing happens when we help others is that we learn that we can take that same energy that we put into helping others ourselves. Did you ever notice that volunteers are the most calm people in the place out of everyone there? They're the ones who will answer your questions. They're the ones who take their time. They're not rushing anywhere. They don't have a boss on their neck. They don't have a timeline on their back. They just are there. They're like goodwill, because they understand the value. They understand what it's like to be helping you. Helping others. Sometimes we help each other with our time. Sometimes we help each other with our money. Sometimes we help each other with our homes. Sometimes we help each other by feeding each other. There's many ways to help people. There isn't only one way. But every time we help another soul, we have helped ourselves equally the same. I didn't know how that worked. Because I figured, okay, I have to make time to do this, and I have to. But once you get there, once you are there, the balance of God's love, of God's hand, is always there between people. The person who's helping and the person who's helped benefit in the ways they need to benefit in their own lives. And a lot of times the people being helped are the people who help others in the way that they can help others, because everyone has a different way. Everyone has a different mode to communicate like that. If you're really, really quiet and you know, like to do things, but you kind of are quiet just naturally as a person, you might be able to help by funding or helping programs funded. Maybe you really like to talk a lot. You like to hug people. You like to listen to people. That would be a good place, maybe in a home for older people, because they have a lot of beautiful stories to tell. And you leave feeling, wow, I thought I was coming here to them or talk to them or just listen to them. But the things they told me have forever changed my life. You don't believe it. The other thing he said was to also do work that you get paid for respectfully. But you actually get paid to do work because the way life is set up is that we have to make payments. That actually didn't always, that wasn't always, people used to barter. You do this, I'll do that. Okay. You bring fish, you bring home other food. Whatever it was, we did. Because before, living in a place, people built their dwelling and they lived before they marked land, before they did all of these things. And then there was a taxation in Christ's time. There's always somebody trying to make money off of others, trying to be wealthier, stronger, greedier, whatever it was. That's from the beginning of time. It's not just from now. And I see Francis writes in the chat, if we relax on the way to where we are going, we will be in good shape when we get there. That's so true. We don't have to be nervous. We don't have to be anxious. We don't have to jump down other people's throats to get what we want. But also getting paid fairly for what you do. Don't take advantage of people and don't take advantage of yourself. This one's one I had to learn. I had to learn that I used to get paid for what I did. But somehow, when it's involved with Christ, it shocked me to feel like I didn't know how to do that. I didn't want people to feel taken advantage of. I didn't want people to feel, even though I wasn't taking advantage of them, but I didn't know how to charge for my time either. Because then I felt like, oh my God, now she's using Christ in all of this business. And I see Susan wrote, getting paid fairly is not so easy when you're self-employed. Didn't know how to ask for anything, but you will be surprised when you ask. I remember when I wrote Little Winged, and I was literally, I had nothing at the time. And there's every time I wrote a book, I had nothing. It seems like every time Christ comes in heavy, all that goes away because there's no other way to stop life than to have nothing in it to be able to do something. And I had to scrape together $500 for somebody to read Little Wing, and it's a small book, and give me their issue as a literary agent, but to give me back feedback. And she was self-employed. She had no problem asking for it. No problem not doing it unless I ask. I'm learning to ask for what is fair, not for what I need. I can't ever sleep at night taking advantage of another person. But I also can't sleep at night worrying about bills. So I have to have a balance. I have to have like that 500 plus 500 equal 1,000. Because if I have 800 plus 200, I can't survive to do this. But once I accepted it, I realized other people accepted it. It was me. It was why I looked at things that way, that put me in the position I was in. And that took me 15 years to do that. And I finally defined what I want to do with this knowledge. And all I did was listen to how Christ wanted me to do it. And I knew, okay, this is my role. And it took me this long to define it. And honestly, the time before the summit is when I knew exactly what I needed to do. And once I saw that, I was able to go forward, and I've been working feverishly, and hopefully, you know, we keep putting off our launching because there ended up being so much infrastructure to build. I still can't believe how much. I thought, oh, all I have to do is the website, get the books out, and boom. But that was just business as usual. But once I started asking for help, bringing people in, their ideas, their love, their energy got involved. Their keys got involved to help me do this, where I, at this point, I'm going big or going home. I mean, this is it. Because I need to be able to continue to do this. And the three things I needed are the three things I sought out. And now, do I have a problem asking? No. Why? Because I know where I'm going. I know where I'm going. If you don't know where you're going, you don't know what to ask for to build towards what you need. To say, you know what, in a year from now, I want this and this and this to be true in my life. Okay, let's go backwards from a year from now. What do I do to get to next year at this time? I want to be doing this. I want to be doing that. I want this to have happened by then. And those are the things I'm going to focus on, and those are the things I'm going to work on. And Susan, you write in the chat that, wow, I wish I knew where to put my energy right now, which step to come next. Well, think about where you want to be next year at this time. Think where you want to be. And then build a road to get there. That's how you'll know. Otherwise, just waiting and waiting for this job or that job or this person or that person, you have to know where you're going. Otherwise, you're just free-floating in the wind. And it's one of the hardest things to do when we're doing it ourselves, because most entrepreneurs will go and buy a business. It's a place you walk into, you give a service, people pay you, it's done. But when it's intellectual property that you have, how do you tell people who you are, what you do? How do you show that? Years of experience will do that, because nobody starts a business when they don't know what they're doing yet. But your product, your work, is measured in time instead of in product, physical product. So if you could think of it that way, you can build from that. I found out doing one-on-one appointments is something I'm not going to do anymore. Person, one-on-one, I can't do the bigger things because that takes a lot of time, but you can only do so much of that. I don't know how I'll incorporate, you know, if somebody really needs a one-on-one, but I won't be able to do them in the same way if I want to do what I actually want to do. And that's to talk to groups of people and to travel doing that. And how much will I charge and where will I go and why will I go there? But I know that I need to reach more people and I want to see them in person, faces. I want to hear their stories in those times. I want to address those issues in those times. Because this message is so simple that it's actually overlooked, yet it's the biggest stuff in our lives. The stuff we think about is who we really are. And that's the stuff we don't tell anybody. We all put on our front for other people and we go on. And Susan writes in the chat, oh yes, I am working exactly on the intellectual property day. Susan, you're an attorney. You're a lawyer. The things you know people need every day. So how do you offer what you have to people so that they know what you offer and they can come to you for that? As long as people know what they're getting, they can come. If they don't know what they're getting, they don't know what to ask you for. Pay you for. And never assume that anyone knows anything about you. Put out exactly what you do, just like a menu. The other thing that Christ says was allow change to be a part of your life each and every day. do something different because it keeps your brain open, growing, going forward. Thing every day, of course, you're going to be bored. You're going to be like, oh my God, does this never end? And it will never end until you end it. You have to end it. We forget these little things. The only one who can end it is you. Remember that. The other thing that he asked for was ask for help when you need it. That was another hard one for me. But I'm learning because I know it takes a village. I know that it takes a village to do anything. If anyone out here thinks they're going to do everything by themselves, I've got another thing. You've got another thing coming. You cannot be everywhere at one time. And the bigger you go, the more people you need involved. You need people you trust, people who are on the same wavelength, people who understand what you're doing, who see the value. Even if it's a healthcare product, even if it's, you know, a good food, whatever it is, can move mountains. And they do. And the most important thing, and I left it till the end, because this is where Christ started with me, and this is what started the books being written, was my response to his question. When he said, who would you be? Everybody you knew did not know you. How would you define yourself? And I honestly could not answer that question for a very long time. I see that Francis wrote in the chat, there are experts out there for everything you need. You are an expert to somebody else. And you have to own it. Because if you don't own it, nobody else will own it for you. Ask yourself questions. Who would you be if everybody you knew did not know you? How would you introduce yourself? What would you say about yourself? Thing to you. Would you be able to answer that? Would you be able to answer it right now? Really, really think about who you are in your own life. It is the most amazing question to ask yourself. How do you get to know you? Ask yourself questions. Invite change. Challenge yourself. No one can do it for you. It's an amazing, exhilarating feeling to find out what's in your soul. Our souls are endless with knowledge, and you'll realize how much you already know, and it will shock you, and it will be one of the best feelings in the world at the same time. We are remarkable as human beings. I got 10 seconds, you guys. I love you so very much. I'll see you tomorrow on Relationship Wednesday. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to today's Daily Dose of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show. To learn more, visit www.nadiakhalil.com.